You're listening to Eric Wiltshire, Lee Bank and Mark Gander.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad Boys and Girls, your weekly sideways look at the news from country to people all over Europe helping out. My name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm at the base of the Tatry Mountains here in Pop Brad, which is in east of Slovakia, which is right in the heart of Europe. Over in the zit on the nose of Europe, probably moaning about the weather, it's none other than Lee Banks.
It is, and I'm not moaning about the weather. I think it's gorgeous. It's snowing, it's freezing, it's dark, it's dirty, it's horrible.
All right, so it's situation normal then?
Yeah. Do you know the BBC News, this has really upset me for the beginning of the day, right? BBC News have just announced that this is the earliest snowfall that the UK has had in 17 years. Well, what a load of rubbish. Because,
believe.
Let's think about it, January comes before November, doesn't it? And it was snowing last January.
Oh, very good. Laughing in the background from Gay Paris. It's the French contribution, one of those. It's none other than Mark Gander.
Well, hello there. Right, yes, no, but I am in Paris and I'm not a French contributor, and it's very cold here, which is quite good because it means that some of the dog's muck on the pavement gets frozen and it doesn't cause such a mess when you're treading it.
Yucky.
No, that's
yes.
Right, you
can
just suck it.
Oh, that's gross. That's so gross. We'll be looking at all sorts of consumer issues this week, boys and girls, including you guys wasting £440 million a year.
That's just me, personally.
Yeah. We'll be paying tribute to Ingrid Pitt. Slight concern where police are to get greater web censorship powers. I'm sure that'll get some heated debate going. We'll be talking about WikiLeaks, students complaining that they didn't have a bottle of water, Apple are being nasty to iPhones. We'll be doing a quick consumer spot on what to buy for Christmas as well, plus lots more. And we've got to start off by saying hi to the guys at Replay at Talk Radio X, the wonderful people at RTI and Audio Boo, and just about anywhere else you can find us on the planet. Birthdays this week is the ever so beautifully young and tall blonde Sarah Hall. Chris Beeching is very old this coming week. He's so old. It's unbelievable. Paul Bearney, Tom Shorrock, good old friend of the programme. He's celebrating
this. How old is Tom Shorrock then?
21. Jonathan Miles, one of my old colleagues from Radio Luxembourg days. He's celebrating this week. Ian McGregor, Graham Kirk, Caroline Sakura. So, hang on, how do you say that, Caroline? Sakulanda. Probably is. Nice. Hi, Caroline. Steve Learman, John Catlett, one of the old bosses. Bless him, lovely man. Tony Hollis and John Moss, who's over there in the US of A. Bless him. Hi, John.
That's John L. Moss, by the way, to make sure we don't get confused with the others.
Well, that's very true.
It's not Boss, it's Moss.
I said Moss. Don't start,
you said
John.
Boss, and he started saying boss, and you're both wrong because it's Moss.
He's a lovely fella, actually. He worked on, believe it or not, a radio ship called the MV Communicator, which is better known to people as Laser 558 in the 80s.
I used to work on one called the Blue Pig.
Yeah. Stop it. Messages from Lee, I think. Come on, Lee, messages time.
I'm just confused because everybody's talking at me. I'm used to living alone and only two people near me. Are you ready? Yeah, right. This is a very important message, actually, for the world, right?
We
need to say this to the world. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned that the Cock Inn was doing a naked calendar.
Lee, I've got a question. Do they sell Dickens cider?
That's terrible, Eric.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. The old ones are the best.
Do some cocktails, though. Anyway,
yes,
they've done a naked calendar of all their regulars. Some of my mates are in there, like Big Fat Reg.
Right.
Yeah, standing there in nothing but his beer belly and Wellingtons.
Right.
Right, now they are amazed that these calendars They're raising money, like I say, it's a good cause. They're doing it right. They're raising it for prostate cancer. We can joke all we want, but that's what they're
absolutely
actually doing.
Absolutely good. Good call.
And, yeah, and their calendars, they've actually been selling them unbelievably. Remember, this is a little pub in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. Actually in the middle of the village of the Damned, and they've been selling them in calendar. You know that little village called Calendar?
Yeah, that's the one.
There. Calendar,
yeah.
I meant.
Yes.
And America. So,
wow.
And they've just they've written to us to say thank you very much, because we put a piece out on them, and the calendars have been selling abroad.
Good.
And they're now having a new run of calendars done, and they want everybody around the world to send them money and buy them. They're really good, that's it.
But how? How, Lee, do people find them?
I didn't look at that bit. There's actually... If you go, and you know what, I even called it the wrong, no, if you go on Facebook, there is a face there, you can't get me, there's a Facebook site for the Cock Inn, you can go on there.
Oh, there's going to be loads of them.
No, there isn't, there's only, well, all right, then they can get in touch with me and I'll pass the messages on.
Lee, can I make
a... That's a grown-up thing to do, isn't it?
No, I've got a better idea, knowing your memory. Why don't we put a link to their website... on the front page of RTIFM.
Brilliant idea. Eric, I think you are a genius.
Gosh. Can I have that in writing?
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, we'll put
and
it
by
on.
By the way, it's...
Just drop the genie.
It's prostate cancer, not prostrate cancer.
Thank you, Mark.
Because prostate is what happens when you've had too much to drink in the Cock Inn.
That's right. And it's what happens when the Cock... Yeah, right, carry on. Let's move on. We'll do another message.
Right.
Right. This is off the Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just very straightforward. There's a bit on there I can't read now, actually. I'll send his message to you after, Eric, because you should see that. Anyway, the first part of the message says, I'm really upset. I've just been sacked from a soup kitchen for shouting, come on, lads, some of us have got homes to go to.
Have you got any more?
Yeah.
Well, hurry up then.
Jenna.
Yes.
Jenna sent us her message. Nice message. In the vein of the show, she's looking at consumer issues and she says, can you circulate this around, especially? Around specially? Right. As Christmas is fast approaching. It's not, is it, Jenna? Nobody else has told me. It's been confirmed by the Royal Mail. The trading standards officers are all saying that there is a card which is being posted through your door from a company called PDS, Parcel Delivery Services.
It's not real.
They expect... No, it isn't. She's saying it could cost you like a couple of hundred quid because they say they've got a parcel waiting for you. They give you
From knowledge, they've been doing this for about 4 years now, swines, and every year it comes back. So thank you, Jenna. And you shouldn't do that. If you're concerned about something that comes from the Royal Mail, get hold of your local post office, a high street one, or your sub postmaster in the village, and ask them if it's legitimate.
If you're in the Navy.
In the Navy. No, right. Are we done now?
Yeah, thank got a couple of old bits to do.
Well, we'll do those in a moment. Let's have some let's get on with some consumer stuff. British consumers are wasting 440 million. That's 440 million pounds a year on branded cartridges rather than the cheaper white label replacements, which is a survey from YouGov. And so it's not a competitor talking about it. And they reckon that if you went into a typical shop, switching your cartridge purchase would save you about £44 a year. Now, let me just start you off on this, boys and girls, because I'm going to defend the manufacturers of big printers that sell you cartridges a little bit. Shock, deep breath. The reason I'm going to defend them a little bit is the technology in a printer... is actually a lot more than what you often pay for it. So if you're paying, say, £30 or £40 for a printer, really you should probably be paying something like £80 to £100 for that printer. The thing is, once they've got you on their cartridges, they can make a flaming fortune out of you. Absolute fortune. And the worst, black ink.
Black ink, absolutely. You know what? I only want a printer so I can do one thing with it, and that's print. But I've got a printer that does everything from tell you goodnight stories to make you a cup of coffee in the morning, photograph you, do commit all sorts of sexual acts on you, it'll do anything you want. All I want it to do is print.
Right.
And every time it prints something out, I might print five letters, five pages.
Absolutely.
Empty.
Actually, I think this, like, is something. This is something for the Consumer Action Group site, Mark, which of course Mark's the founder of, because there's a second issue here that the trouble with a lot of cartridges used by the brand names is they end up getting thrown away. Now, there's a hell of a lot of plastic, a hell of a lot of metal contents in there, and they're in the bin. Reused cartridges are actually very eco-friendly because they're reused, and you can reuse them.
The kits all over the place, and you can certainly find them on eBay.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that I haven't tried them myself, but I'm sure that the value is not too bad. And I think it's been well known for a long, long time, actually, that, you know, you can get these inkjet printers very, very cheaply. And where it really counts, as you're saying, is the amount of money you have to pay on refills.
Yeah.
Extraordinary business.
Absolutely. So,
what are these kits you're talking about? The ones where you inject ink back into them?
Yes.
I think that's right. I'm not quite sure how they will.
I've got a couple of... Well, you just, like, you stick it... There's a hole somewhere in your cartridge. I can't understand because you've got colour ones.
No. Hold on, here you go, boys. There's a syringe that comes with this stuff, or syringe-esque that comes with this stuff.
Yeah.
You put it in the bottle of ink. You put it into the right hole, which is explained to you in the idiot's guide that comes with it. And you fill the thing up. What you've got to be careful of is not to overfill it.
Are you saying I can't understand an idiot's guide?
Yes. And and you do likewise with the other three colours as well for your colour side, and it will.
But you've only got one hole to stick it in.
Yeah, for black ink, yes.
And then on the other side, you've only got one hole to stick your colour in.
No, you haven't. You've got
so
different.
How does it know which colour's coming in?
No, because you've got different places on there.
Oh, that's why it keeps going a funny colour.
My word. So look, boys and girls, do yourself a favour. Have a look at websites, get some advice. Save yourself what could be annually. This is from the statistics from YouGov, that often the bill for using brand name inks is £145.50, which is the same cost as a BBC licence fee in the UK.
Do you know another way to save yourself another 30, 40, 50, 60 quid on top of that?
What, don't use a printer?
Yeah, get a typewriter.
With all those ribbons.
Yeah.
And can I just say that I'm quite sure that if people are a bit mystified about how to top these things up, have a look on YouTube, because there are always instructions to all kinds of things like that. Whether
Absolutely.
You want to take apart your Nintendos, your printers, what have you, it's a very, very good source for good videos that show you very quickly what to do.
And if you, I'll add to that, because that's a really good point, Mark. If you go to a lot of the shops where you can buy these cartridges over the counter, these replacement things, the shopkeepers will actually help you with the first go. So,
yeah,
apart from Lee, obviously, it'll be marvellous. Everything will be wonderful.
Are we moving on now? We've insulted me for the last 10 minutes.
Yes, we're now going to get Eric into deep doo-doo all over the world.
Can I just do something before you do? Because this ties in so well with what you're going to do.
Go on, then.
It even involves the same country.
My gosh.
Right, this is a consumer question. Again, perhaps, I suppose, in a way, aimed at Mark. Right? But this is a perfectly legitimate and straightforward true question.
Right.
How many years can an ex-wife hold a grudge?
Oh dear.
A long time since records first began.
Yes.
It's nothing to do with having records. Wives held a grudge before gramophones were invented. This is a true story, right?
Right.
This is the true story. Do you remember about two or three weeks ago we did a little piece on Orvis?
Yeah.
Who'd mixed up an order and delivered it immediately, got it all sorted out, did really well. Well, as we explained at the time, that was a gift for my son who'd gone to live in India, which is funny, you know, a bit spooky, what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Now, my son, right, and my daughter both said, my mum's going over to India to see Luke for Christmas. Why don't you give her the present to take over to him?
Right.
So I thought, that's right, that's fine. I know she doesn't like me very much, but, you know, we've been apart for 30 years. You thought she'd have forgiven me by now, and I didn't really do anything wrong, but not particularly like her very much. And she's kidnapped me present and won't give it him.
I don't believe that for a minute.
She did.
What was it? Can we ask?
Well, not matter now, because he's not going to get it.
Stop
this
it.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful.
The former Mrs. Record. Banks, we don't believe that at all. Let's move on. Power to the men! Yeah! I sounded like a South American football host for a minute.
You sounded like a Vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela. Women in the Indian region of Lank will need to find a husband before a mobile phone, as single women have been banned from using mobile phones for fear that they'll elope. This new ruling, which is backed by Indian law, means that, and it's actually done by the elected elders of a village, they have the control, and they're worried that unmarried women are using mobile phones to arrange clandestine meetings that lead to eloping.
That's women for you, isn't it? That's the sort of thing women do, isn't it?
Yes. Well, apparently this was in The Guardian, and the ban's already covered 50,000 people. Now, that does sound a bit sort of heavy going, but in some ways, I kind of have a bit of empathy with that.
You're joking.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, come on, Eric, do it, man. Do it, Eric, go for it.
Because, and let's be a bit serious for a minute. If young girls have telephones, and if you get some rich guy who says to them, oh, I've got a new iPhone for you, would you like it? And they go, cool, yeah. Oh, by the way, I've also got you an iPad at the same time. They're actually grooming young ladies. Now, what happens after a bit of grooming? We know what happens. So in a lot of ways, protecting younger people from using mobile phones isn't always that bad, is it?
Well, I can see where you're coming from, but I think that's a bit convoluted, really.
Well, so do I. Come on, Eric. This is, it's just terribly oppressive. And I have to say that I hope that the Indian law does step in. I mean, India's trying to sort of, you know, show that it's a, you know, totally sort of modern and important nation. And of course, with its economy and its size, it is. To have this kind of thing going on in village life is just quite applaudable. I mean,
all I was going to say is that, yeah, I understand where you're both coming from, but if you think about things logically, yes, India certainly is a burgeoning nation. It's one of the strongest nations we've got at the moment, right. And that's a good thing. But this attitude is something that's being displayed through this phone ban, is something that's entrenched in that culture.
Mm.
And just because us Westerners don't particularly think it's right, it doesn't mean they've got to change their way. So guess what? They might think it's right. We do some terrible and bizarre things to our children and other people in our culture, and people don't like that either. Witness the terrorism problems we've got.
Well, that's true.
We're too quick to condemn other nations for things that they do.
Mm. Last word with Mark.
Well, I think that this is a sexist thing. I don't think it's particularly democratic. It seems to me to be oppressive of women, and we're critical of exactly the same kind of thing in Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, for instance, where women are not allowed to drive and so forth. And I think this is all the same kind of stuff. I think it's absurd, and I think it makes India a laughing stock.
Mm. I think just to add a little comment into that, I think the other problem is that when it's seen on the global stage, it can do a lot of harm. And that's the danger. Anyway, moving along, I'm going to be called a complete philistine because I am. Apparently, the Hammer horror favourite Ingrid Pitt has died at the age of 83.
I think this is incredible that you didn't know who Ingrid Pitt is or wasn't. She was 73. Even though she's dead, you can't insult a woman over her age.
I said 73, didn't I? Did I not?
No, he said 83.
No, sorry, 73.
And she was Polish.
So she was from
just
Yes. Well, I'm sorry to Poland. It's just an hour away from me. But honestly, Mark, have you ever heard of Ingrid Pitt?
No, I'm afraid I haven't, no.
Do we all remember Hammer House of Horror films?
Ish.
Which were probably the 60s and 70s best. Well, the only real horror films were about them, but they were schlock horror. They were fantastic things with Peter Cushing and all the others in them. And Ingrid Pitt, which I can't believe neither of you ever heard of her, was their heroine. She played Countess Dracula in the film Countess Dracula and The Vampire Lovers. I think what she was mainly famous for was never actually having her clothes on. But that's a different story. I think it's just sad that poor old Ingrid has finally shuffled off this mortal coil after stabbing us through the hearts with fear for decades.
Well, of course,
she was 73, we see. I mean, she was quite young then.
Yeah.
Eh?
She was 73. That's quite young.
Yeah.
What, today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or yesterday. Excuse me, gentlemen, I don't get your point. I'm not arguing about the fact she was young or old. I'm just saying it's sad that she's dead. Actually, I don't care she's dead, really.
Maybe,
I just thought it'd be interesting.
Maybe she's just undead.
True. very true.
Lee, go around there and give her a kiss at full moon.
Yeah. Last topic before the end of part one, boys and girls, and as I know this is going to take quite a lot of time, here we go. Police in the UK are to get greater web censorship powers. Listen carefully. Police will effectively get more powers to censor websites under proposals. They are proposals right now, being developed by Nominet. Now, Nominet is the organisation that controls all the .co domain names, or so if you look at my website, it's mediazoo.co.uk, .co.uk, that is controlled by Nominet, and it's a non-government organisation. What's happened is that Nominet's been lobbied by the Serious and Organised Crime Agency, known as SOCA, in the UK, and Nominet wants to change the terms and conditions under which the domains are issued to people so that they can legally revoke them when they get demands or requests from law enforcement agencies. I'm gonna offer this one open to debate from the two, one over in the UK and one down in France. What do you think, guys?
I think really, it's a way. You see, I know I go on about this a lot, but I mean it. The internet is the Wild West frontier, and it needs policing. But I'm not actually sure whether our police force are the right people to police it, because they are actually going to be editing content on the web, and that is going to be a very draconian thing to have coppers doing. Now, if it involves child pornography, it involves bestiality, some of the main crimes on the internet, or it involves scams and stuff like that, that's fine. Let them investigate them, which they won't do anyway. And now the police basically won't do much to investigate crimes on the internet. I've suffered them here, and the police are not interested. They give you a crime number and forget about it. But now they're inexplicably going to be given power over the internet as well, but draconian power. Bit bizarre. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, well, I, first of all, I think that this is a failure in Nominet, because I don't think Nominet actually is very interested in regulating. I think they're interested in, if you like, controlling, but actually controlling sort of the standards and controlling misuse of the internet. I haven't noticed they do very much, and I think they've got a very slack regime. I quite agree with you, Lee, that I think that the police are probably the wrong people to be doing this, and I don't understand why it falls to the British police. This should be something that's international. I mean, internet crime, which is mounting to huge proportions, is a global problem, and it seems to me there ought to be a global regulation authority. If there isn't one, then I can't see that getting the Met involved, Dixon of Dockyard involved, to deal with this is going to make any bloody difference at all. And I don't think they're competent to do it. So, in principle, some tight regulation and proper regulation is a good idea, this way.
Yeah, okay. And what about the sites then which are really easy to see? And again, we'll come back to consumer issues because Christmas is coming. You see websites go up there where they're selling all sorts of goods, a lot of which you don't know whether they're legitimate or counterfeit. There are symbols that you can see on internet sites from the bigger banks and the organisations that transfer money. There are brand certificates that can go onto websites. And as I said before, a lot of them are HTTPS sites, meaning they're secure sites. If they're not secure, and it's so simple for the police to see, it does beg the question, why aren't Nominet just sort of having a rule in their thing or their terms and conditions which says, if you are not running as according to your website, we can close you down?
Exactly right. They've got ample powers. and I think they could go ahead and do it. I think the real thing is that Nominet really just doesn't particularly want to get involved. As I say, you know, I think that there's some kind of, I've no idea how they managed to get set up, but I think they've got a very nice sort of situation there, but they don't regulate, for instance, trademark problems. Anybody could, you know, I mean, I could go and get a domain rti.eu, for instance, or something like that.
Yeah.
And yet if I was registering trademarks, I wouldn't be allowed to do that.
No.
You can register domain names and not use them. You just store them up and sell them. If you're lucky enough that you've registered one that someone wants, you're not allowed to do that with trademarks. I don't understand how the system is allowed to fall into sort of such a slack level of standards.
Well,
quite amazing.
I'll cut across you a little bit there. There are some circumstances where registered trademarks using the electronic registration now does prevent people from using a name that is part of a trademark of somebody else. That ruling's come through and people are now losing those where they were cyber-sitting. A lot of them are losing sites. But I take your point, Mark, and it's a very valid point. But then the question is, as we finish part one, who should be looking at it? Because I think Nominet are using this as an excuse to say, not me, Gov, wasn't me, it was the police.
There has to be a proper international police force set up to look after the net. The Met itself, by taking on this challenge, which, you know, ultimately they're not going to do any good, it's not going to change anything, but they've done a really good PR exercise for them. And the best that you can hope from this is that, like Mark's just said, they link up with other police forces around the world and become something to be contended with.
Well, let me just add.
The fact is, they've got to take on every kind of crime on the internet.
Well, let me just add something in here. Nominet, during December, at the request of the Met Police, the e-crime unit, revoked the domain names of 1,200 websites. Now, that's not bad going.
That's not many.
It's
how
not
many
many
websites are on the web?
Oh, millions. Yeah, billions.
I agree. I don't think that's many either. I mean, can I say, I think that the whole thing needs to be overhauled. There's an excellent organisation that exists at the moment. It's a global organisation. Most of the countries in the world subscribe to it, and it's called WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organisation.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Known as OMPI, by the way, in France. You know, that whole area of copyright, performing rights, all sorts of intellectual property is not, and trademarks, by the way, is not so far away from domain names. And I think that what they need really is to take that and to start developing a set of rules that all countries promise to adhere to. And from there, then you introduce a global policing system. And I think it needs to be dealt with that way. I think Nominet is washed up. I think it's probably very American, and I think that they like, if you like, sort of the freedom of the market forces, and I don't think they're serious.
That's the end of part one, boys and girls. We'll be back in part two faster than you can go to a legitimate website to buy some good Christmas goods. We'll be talking and giving you some top tips about what not to buy as we come up towards Christmas in part two of Postcard from Poprad.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.